It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It's always a pleasure to be with you here from Bible Home Church, and I consider you my friend and certainly my brothers and sister in the Lord. I want to tell you how much I appreciate the letters that you send us and appreciate especially your love gifts and your prayers for this ministry. Many of you ask us to pray for your needs, and we're so glad to do that. We're just privileged to do it. Please give us the opportunity to do that by writing us and letting us know of your needs. Let us know the needs of your loved ones, whether it's for salvation, whether you have a need because you have an illness personally or in your family, whether your need is financial. Maybe you need a better job, or you don't have a job. Maybe you need a place to stay or a better place to stay. Maybe your car broke down and you need to get places today's world and you can't. You have no transportation. We want you to know you can count on us to pray and to be in agreement with you that God will do a miracle in your life. So please write to us. And by the way, it's not required for you to give a love gift or a tithe or offering to Bible Home Church for us to pray for you. It's not required for us to read your letter with your comments. So don't feel that you're required to send us a love gift or offering. On the other hand, I want you to know that everyone who does, we appreciate it so much. That's how we're able to keep this ministry going around the world. We're making a difference. Now, if you would like to join our congregation, you say, well, how can I do that? I live in Tennessee or Georgia or Canada or New York State, or I'm listening over in Romania or Africa even. We do have some listeners, believe it or not, around the world. How can I be a member of Bible Home Church in Austin, Texas? Well, you know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. And we're gathered today through the miracle of electronics and radio. We're gathered today. We're in unison. We're as one under Christ. And I want you to become a part of this congregation. I'm not asking you to give your money. That's up to you. But if you don't have a home church and you'd like to be a member of Bible Home Church, here's what we expect of you. Write to us. Tell us your name and give us your address. You can give us your family members too and say, Brother Tex Mars, I want to be a member of Bible Home Church. And you can become a member. Now, I want you to understand, if you can find a Bible-believing church, a King James Bible-believing church in your hometown or city, that's wonderful. And I love to work with pastors around the United States and the entire globe. But, you know, it's hard to do nowadays, and there's so much apostasy out there. So I say this, you can start your own home church, and you can all become members of your own little body. That's what they did in the book of Acts. They founded their own churches in home churches where two or three are gathered. And then you can join our church too, that you're ever all the members of your home church. Maybe you'll send your tithes and offerings to us so we can keep going here. Maybe you don't have any money to send tithes or offerings. You say, well, what if I just have a pittance? Well, Tex Mars, I couldn't send Bible Home Church over a dollar a week. I can't even afford $5 a month. Well, did I say that giving money to us was a requirement? No, it's not a requirement. We're not going to calculate how much money you've given to us. If we will thank God for your love gift. But no. Don't, you know, to join the church, in fact, it might be better for you not to send money to us, because then you'll think you're required to join the church. No, that we don't require anything. And we'll never take your name off the rolls. If you never give us a penny, You can be a member of this church forever. That's between you and God what you want to give. We would just love to hear from you. We want to know that you're part of us. We want to know that you contribute your prayers. Now, I know you can pray even if you don't have any money. That's right. You can pray for us. I tell you, I'd rather somebody say, Tex, I can't afford anything for you. I'm out of a job. I'm desperate, but I'll spend 15 minutes a day praying for you for 30 days. Oh my. That's worth more than money. So you can do that, can't you? You see, so I'm not begging at all. We don't beg here. We just are thankful for those who are able to give and who do. And we're able to keep. We're not going broke here. I'm not going to say, oh, we're going to be off the air unless you give to us. No, I believe God wants this program on the air, and we're going to be on here for a long time to come. How long? Until Jesus comes. And when Tex Morris dies, I intend to pass it on to another pastor. Or whatever it takes to keep Bible Home Church going. We're here for the duration. Now, I hope the duration is very short. I hope Jesus comes real soon. Myself, I'd like him to come today. I'd like to leave all of our things behind, including Bible Home Church. But we're going to have to wait very patiently until that latter-day reign of Jesus comes. Well, now, if you join, I do require one thing. Our church requires one thing. Here's our rule. Very simple. You must tell us, and sincerely mean it, that you profess a belief in Jesus Christ as Lord. All right? I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He has saved me. And I'll tell you what, that's all we need. We trust you. Hey, if you're lying, we'll make you a member anyway, but, you know, God knows. He keeps that name on the book of life. We have our church rolls, but he's got the great book, and you don't want to miss having your name on that. So, but we're going to trust you. If you say, by profession of faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord, I want to be a member of Bible Home Church, we're going to let you join our congregation, and you can tell everybody, I'm a member of Bible Home Church. We'll proudly have you as our member and as our friend. If you never give a cent, now didn't I say that 10 times already? But I'm going to say it again so you'll know I'm not asking you for any money. I just want you to be a part of this great church. And I do ask also that you pray for us periodically. That's not too much. Now, we have a wonderful song for you. This is a good friend of ours. He lives right here in Austin, Texas. And I'll tell you, he has the most melodious voice. And I've told Johnny Ray that when we get to heaven, God's going to take away his voice and give it to me. Because I want it. I have asked for a voice more than him. I would love to sing to the glory of Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus even gave you an audience and let you sing to his glory before the throne? Oh, I bet that's probably the dream of every gospel singer. Well, that would be my dream too, but I'm not a very good singer. So I told Johnny that unless he flies right and keeps straight and doesn't sin a lot, God's going to take away his gift, his crown there of singing a gift to me. Of course, I'm only kidding. I don't want Johnny to lose his either his crown or his gift or his talent. I'm not covetous of it. I'm glad he's got it because he sings to the glory of God. This is an old favorite of everybody's, Beulah Land. I know you're going to enjoy this. And when it's over, I'm going to go right in. We're going to continue our series. You know, I'm interviewing Dr. Joseph Chambers of the Paul Creek Church of God in the beautiful city of Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was pleased to be right there at that church with the Brother Chambers some time ago. And I interviewed him, and he interviewed me a little bit, put me on the griddle, and I drilled him. I interrogated him on the King James Bible. He loves the Bible just like I do. And you're going to enjoy his explanation of why he believes in the King James Bible when we met together. But first, Beulah Land, that great classic by Johnny Ray Watson. And then I'll be with the message afterwards. Beulah
kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. Time won't matter anymore. Just a few more days to labor. Then I'll take my heavenly flight. You Sweet Beulah.
So if a New Ager says, I believe in a divine force, but Jesus is only one element of that divine force, as I or you or a rock or a tree or parts of that or portions or elements of that divine force. The very verse in the Bible that can prove that Jesus is the Godhead. He is one with God.
One.
With the Father. That's been taken
that
out.
That verse has been eliminated. Yes.
Another thing that's very important, I believe in
witnessing. That's NIV Bible.
In the NIV Bible. Another thing that's very important in witnessing to anyone, including New Agers, is to let them know that they are lost, but that there is a Savior come to save those who are lost. Now, before this program began, you told me about Luke chapter 9,
yes.
Verse 39, the lost. Now, people, I believe, innately know that they are lost. God has put this void in their life. And in Luke 9:39, evidently something there has also been changed in the new versions.
This is Luke 9:56. I may have made a mistake.
No problem.
It says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. In the NIV, it eliminates that whole part, but the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. It simply says, and they went to another village.
You mean the fact that Jesus came.
I want
people to understand this.
Yes.
If I were a New Ager and I just picked up this Bible and I'm ready to throw my life away, to commit suicide, there's no hope for me. And I turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 56. That saving message is gone.
That saving message is gone. Now, they would argue, but that message is found at other places. Similar.
Yeah, they have a big word, conflation or some nonsense like that.
Yeah, and they would argue that. But you see, any time you take out those kind of key words and statements, I mean, you are eliminated almost an entire verse. And they do this many times over.
Brother Joe, I was an Air Force officer, and I was assigned to a missile warning squadron. All right? Now, this was the time during the Cold War when the Soviet Union had somewhere around 1,600 ICBMs pointed toward the United States with nuclear warheads. And at that time, and I can't get into some of the top secret elements that I was involved in, but there were two great defense systems, radar defense systems, and I was involved in one of those. And there was a debate in Congress and the halls. All of this was secret debate in the Appropriations Committees and the Armed Services Committees, whether to save money we should take out one of those systems. You see, they said they duplicate each other. Why do we need two radar systems? Each system tells us when missiles have been launched toward the United States, right? Why do we need two? It's a duplication. It's redundant. And finally, these congressmen were made to understand that if one is taken out and the other doesn't work for some reason, you're lost.
Right.
So here, a person may turn in his time of need to this very verse he needs to save his life, his soul, and it's gone. So it's not enough to say, but it's somewhere else.
But
search for it somewhere else in the pages.
But it's even a deeper matter. God gave His Word to be perfect. God gave His Word so that it continuously rebuilds and builds on. So that you got a cake, like layer after layer, and ice in between the layer. So that when you remove any layer, you reduce the height of the cake. The level of the cake, the strength of the cake, that's how you do with the Bible.
You take out, you know, one time I was going to bake a cake, I remember, and it turned into the most horrible mess in the world.
Let your wife bake
and
the cake.
Well, this was when I was a little child, and I said, hey, I can bake a cake like my mother. Well, I found out I couldn't do it like my mother. I left out something, and I'm telling you, I made something that I think Goodyear Rubber Company could have patented it on the market and used for a tire or something. Because something was left out.
Yes.
So the imperfection was there, and it was worthless. The whole thing was no good.
When you got an infallible book, you don't touch a word. And see, people don't understand that is dangerous, that you are reducing its infallibility. You're eliminating its infallibility, which you're not just reducing, you eliminate it. When you remove any part,
everything
that makes the structure.
So every word. Now, there's a problem, too. Now, Luke chapter 4. God says, what men shall live by.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Let's talk about that, okay, and what the new versions do to Luke 4.
The King James says, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." But by every word of God. Now, in the NIV, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." Eliminates the statement, "but by our own every word of God."
So that, again, that is unbelievable.
I mean, and this is one of those. Jesus, by the way, this is a quote out of a prophetic statement, so that they are not even quoting what had been said in the Old Testament. So they're harming the perfection that builds between the old and the new, because the old is fulfilled in the new. You see, that again makes it even
that,
more.
That would be an impossibility then for it to be a
shows
translator.
Shows how full of error it is. And they do this a number of times, that they eliminate something that was quoted in the Old Testament and is now being repeated by the man of God who wrote in the New Testament as given by the Holy Ghost. And so they're destroying some of that continuity between the old and the new that makes the book so perfect and so beautiful.
So those messianic prophecies,
yes,
some 300 in the Old Testament,
are
tampered with in the New Testament.
Absolutely.
And there again, our ability to witness to Jews, for example, to show this is the Messiah and there is a continuity from Genesis to Revelation is gone.
You make a point that I have never thought about. You see, there is a growing one-world religion where every religious sect stands on an equal footing with each other religious sect, so that Christianity is to lose its uniqueness in this coming one world religion. Christianity has got to be merged unto where it has no uniqueness. It is just one of a smorgasbord of religions. So the point you're making is this eliminates that messianic authority of the New Testament, destroys the fact that it documents that the old was speaking of Jesus emphatically and infallibly. And when you go to doing that, you are messing with messianic truth, and that's a good point.
Well, that brings us right to the subject of hell.
Yeah.
messing with God's messianic truth brings us to hell.
Yes.
The word hell, it's missing.
In some of the new versions.
In the Old Testament,
you see the word hell is an English word. So, of course, it would not have been in the original Hebrew.
Right.
The word in the original Hebrew was Sheol. Mm-hmm. Which is the same word to us as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they say, and this, by the way, I want to make some quotes, and these quotes are found in a book written about the translation of the NIV Bible. And these scholars are saying, why did we change the word Sheol to a word that simply means death and not hell? Grave, death, but not hell.
Okay, grave or death.
But not hell.
There's no hell then.
Hell has been removed from the Old Testament.
So a person dies, and if they're a sinner, they die. There's death, or there's the grave. But the danger of hell, the warning there, is missing.
Now, this is in a book called The Making of a Contemporary Translation. That's the name of the book. It's about the NIV. And they say, after all, the Old Testament nowhere says that Sheol is the place of departed spirits. Regarding further punishment after their death, the text is silent. The curse on the wicked is that they might lie silent in the grave.
We hope that this program has been a blessing to you, and we invite you to join with us next week as Pastor Mars continues this series on Why I Believe in the King James Bible.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.